is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Originally from Belleville, Michigan, and now calling Nashville home, Rachel Williams is the definition of a triple threat: singer, songwriter, and entertainer. She was a finalist on the USA Network's Nashville Star 2. Her music is country with some Motown and edgy pop rock thrown in as well. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show Rachel Williams. Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
Hey, it's going great this evening, and things are good with you?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure. I've talked to a couple of your buddies, Drake Jensen, a fellow artist, and, of course, Kim Copeland, who got us all connected, a great Nashville producer. You've known Kim for a while now.
Oh, absolutely. Kim was one of the first people that I met when I moved to town, and she's very, very influential in pretty much everything that I've done up to this point, and she's produced all my records, and been an awesome, awesome experience. I'm celebrating 7 years in Nashville this fall, so
wow.
I can't believe time has flown that fast.
Well, at the time, was it a tough decision to make? Were you a bit nervous about making the move from Michigan over to Nashville?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it was always an inevitable thing for me. I started singing when I was 10. Doing Southern gospel, like revival stuff at churches and talent contests and all that stuff. So if I had it my way, I would have wanted to move to Nashville, you know, when I was like 14 or something. But
Right. Obviously
glad I stayed, glad I went through high school and all that. And then right after high school, I packed it all up in my little Ford and drove, I guess it's like 550 miles from Detroit down to Nashville, and had my car loaded up with suitcases and laundry baskets full of everything. And somehow, like I said, 7 years later, still survived.
Amazing. Now, how do you start? You moved to Nashville. I don't know if you knew people or not, but how do you begin to get yourself known around town and with your music?
Well, I was really fortunate in that I had actually met Kim Copeland and her business partner before I moved down there, because thanks to Nashville Star, I'd already been coming to Nashville prior to being on the show. Me and my family would make, once or twice a year trip to Nashville from Michigan. And so I'd already been there and recorded some and just kind of did as much networking as you can do, but also being a tourist and being clueless. And when I went to tape Nashville Star, I actually met Kim through a friend of a friend that was playing guitar for me up in Michigan, and he had played guitar for me at all the Nashville Star auditions as well. So, you know, I guess it was just kind of destiny. I mean, we met, and so I definitely had an advantage in that, you know, being in Nashville Star and getting to meet some people. But it was still hard. Absolutely. I mean, you still are doing the writer's nights and, you know, just trying to make people shut up and listen to you, because obviously everybody moves to Nashville to be a star. So it was definitely kind of growing pains for me, because I was 18, 19 years old and trying to figure out what's going to set me apart from everybody else. So a lot of people don't have to deal with that at such a young age, I guess, but it was really good. It was very healthy for me.
No doubt. And that's the thing, right? It's finding that thing about you and your voice and your style that separates you from everyone else. And I guess that takes a bit of time to find.
Absolutely. Well, the first album we did, it was all on analog. All the tracks were pretty much live, and it was awesome. I mean, we had B3, piano, just everything. We pulled out all the stops, and it was very Southern Rocky and blues. And at that point in time, like, I had written songs, but I wasn't exactly brave enough to really bring them out of the notebook and into the light of the studio. So a lot of those songs were, you know, written by other people, and it was really, really fun. And, you know, everything's just progressed from record to record. And my second record had 16 songs on it, and I wrote 14 of them. And
wow.
So, you know, I did a big leap. And you know, that album was, you know, kind of a variety of everything, pop rock and country and southern rock and bluesy stuff. And then we did another EP that came out about 2 summers ago. And now we're currently working on the new one. And so, yeah, it definitely, you evolve over the years. And, I mean, I would hope that we all do. So it's been really
yep.
fun to just be more vocal about it, I guess, and get to write about everything that has transpired over the years, and just get to experiment with new sounds. And it's been a real fun experience for me, absolutely.
Now, when you're getting to the songwriting, Rachel, and as you mentioned, you know, at the beginning you weren't sharing your stuff because it's a vulnerable thing to do. You're putting your ideas forth in that. But when you started to co-write with these other writers, now you're writing with some pretty big names, Angela Cassette, Karen Staley, and hit makers like that. What was it like at first when you started to write together and you were trying to express your ideas? Were you a bit nervous with that, hesitant?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's almost kind of like, what can I even contribute? You know, I mean,
right.
I'm a kid, and all these people have all these hits under their belt, and yeah, it definitely took me about a year to really get comfortable, and like I said, just to build up that confidence that I could contribute, and so it's really great. I mean, it's like now I'm friends with all these people, and I do feel like I can hold my own. And, you know, I might not have all the credentials and the plaques on the wall like they do yet, but I definitely know that I have something to bring to the table. And either way, I'm going to sing the pants off of it. So, it's, you know, it's fun. Like, yeah, but it does. It definitely takes a little time to build up your confidence to really go for it and really be fearless when you're in the writing room, because I mean, that's what it's all about. And I can tell those songs that I wasn't fearless on, because those are the songs that kind of got swept under the rug, you know. And
yeah.
When I'm really invested in it, I mean, I go all out with it. And I really do, every time I write a song, I think, you know, would I put this on a record? You know, would I sing this in a show? And if not, then I probably don't do much with the song after that.
Yeah, it's one of those things you can't really just go through the motions and say, well, I'm going to write a song, but not get invested in it, as you said. You really need to believe in that song and what it's saying. And when you sing it, you need to be able to make it believable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Lord knows I have enough angst and, you know, bad relationship that I have so much to write about. So I never needing new inspiration or material. I've got it all, for sure.
That's the positive thing about a broken heart, right? You get lots of songs to write from it.
There is nothing better than feeding off a broken heart when you are a songwriter. I tell you what, my co-writers are like piranhas. They're like, really? Oh, tell me about this breakup. Oh, what was going on? And so it's so funny. I mean, especially with me, I'm just a very honest person and very open, and it definitely can be a catch-22, but, you know, I'll definitely spill my heart out about what's going on in my life, and so it's really fun, especially for those co-writes with people like Karen Staley and Angela Cassett and all those people. You know, it turns into a very therapeutic experience where you're kind of, you know, having a therapy session, and you get a song out of it at the end of the day. So I win either way.
Yeah, exactly. You win both ways. And I've had other artists come on, and of course that is a topic that comes up, music being therapy for the songwriter and the artist, and then of course the people who listen to your songs, then we get to feel that as well, and if it relates to our life, it becomes therapy for us as well. Do you have a song, Rachel, that when you perform almost moves you to tears? moves you that much?
Or even a cover song? I don't know. There is one. I haven't done it in a while, though, but it's actually on Drake's CD. How we were talking about, you know, Drake and Kim Copeland being that connection for me to be on the show today. I wrote a song called It's Not About Me Anymore, and it was when I first moved to town, and I had just gotten a, it's kind of a weird story, but I was definitely very homesick, and I'm very, very close with my family, and I had just gotten a puppy to just kind of make the transition a little easier for me, and so that song was inspired by my dog, and so now I just became an auntie in the last 6 months, and so I have this beautiful, precious little nephew back home in Detroit, and so every time I hear that song or I sing that song, I think of how far I've come from, being 19 years old and getting your little puppy after you first moved to Nashville, and now I've been here for 7 years, and now I have a sweet little nephew to sing it about, so that would definitely be one. And also on my album from a few years ago, the album's called Lonely at the Bottom, there is a song at the end of it called World Famous, and it's actually a song I didn't write. But the first time I ever heard that song, I heard it at just a random writer's night in Nashville, and I just bawled my eyes out the second I heard it. I had no idea who the songwriter was, and I just went up to her and said, I want to record that song. I have to record that song. And I did, and it's actually still a staple in all my shows. I still do it. It basically just talks about how, you know, you're still world famous in your hometown, and you know, if people knew the truth about what it's really like in Nashville and what it's really like to be try to make it in Nashville, you're just kind of, it's almost like you're kind of embarrassed by it or something. And when you go home, you want to be a much bigger deal than you feel like in the big city.
Right.
So that was definitely something that I could relate with when I first moved to Nashville.
That's amazing.
So. So those be it.
We're gonna turn to one of your songs, Rachel. I'll just let our listeners know they can head to rachelwilliamsonline.com to learn more about you. And there's also great information too at kimcopelandproductions.com. We had Kim on recently, and of course she talked about you, and there's a great connection there. Let's turn to the song "A Woman to Love." What can you tell us about this one, Rachel?
Yeah. Well, I was just feeling very empowered, female empowerment that day, and I was kind of in a weird state where I was kind of dating someone, but we weren't boyfriend and girlfriend, and I was just kind of feeling like, this is ridiculous, I'm wasting my time, and so I kind of went in with that attitude, and I had the title, and it was just like, the whole idea was just, you know, I'm not just a girl you call randomly, I'm not just, you know, another number in your phone or just somebody that you think of occasionally, you know, like all of us, you know, all females, it's like we want to be a woman to love. So I wrote this with Bruce Holloway and Carlene Watt, just super attitude, bluesy, awesome guitar. And this was on my latest CD that's on iTunes from a couple years ago. So there it is. It's on your show now.
That's great. Yes, indeed. Here it is. This is Rachel Williams, A Woman to Love, on In the Country.
I'm a woman to want, I'm a woman to need, the
Rachel Williams and A Woman to Love. Great song there, Rachel, and I can hear the blues influence in there too, a lot of passion.
Yeah. I grew up on Motown and Winona and Bob Seger and Bonnie Raitt and all that stuff. So it was fun to definitely let that come into play with some of the songs on that record.
Bob Seger, one of my favorite artists, Night Moves, Against the Wind, Hollywood Nights, and he was born, I guess, in your part of the world, Dearborn, Michigan.
He was. He is a Michigan boy, and we are definitely proud to claim him, for sure. I actually got the chance to go see him about 2 months ago. He came to Nashville, and it was incredible, absolutely incredible. I mean, the guy can still sing the tar out of all those songs, and
wow.
He's awesome. He's awesome. Yeah. He reminds me a lot of my dad. That's my dad's favorite. So so the whole concert, I was reminded of my dad back home.
Nice. Yeah, Bob Seger, what
yeah.
a powerful voice. And, I mean, so Night Moves is such a classic song.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was like a greatest hit, you know, concert, you know, and you don't even, and that's the kind of artist that I admire, because that's always the kind of artist that I wanted to be. You know, I look at people like that. You know, I look at Bonnie Raitt. I look at Melissa Etheridge or whatever. And, I mean, they're still rocking it. You know, they're still touring the country and selling out. And they sound and perform just as good as they ever did. And the records are still great. And that's always been what it's been about for me, is just having a long career. It doesn't have to be, you know, hit song after hit song after hit song, but if I can still stand here, you know, 20, 30 years later and be doing what I'm doing, then I'm very happy.
And so much of it does come back to the song itself, right? I mean, you've got to be a great singer and entertainer, but at the heart of it all, you've got to have these songs that people can relate to. And there's Angela Cassett, who wrote Something in Red for Lori Morgan, a great song, career song.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's what we all aspire for, is the perfect song, for sure. And I mean, you look at people even like Miranda Lambert, you know, who had been around for years, released 3 records, and it wasn't until The House That Built Me came out that she felt like that was her career song, you know?
Right.
And so when it's a good song, it's a good song, whether you're the writer on it or whether you're not. Like, we all feel it, we all know it when we have it. So, yeah, it's fun. It's a fun search.
Now, you get a chance to perform a lot of the songs you write at the Bluebird Cafe. What is that experience like, being there and sharing new songs for the audience?
Playing at the Bluebird is unlike any other experience, like a live performance situation for me, just because it's such an appreciative crowd and it is such a bare bones representation of songs. I mean, it's just you and a guitar, and you can sit there and you can tell the stories about the song, and everybody's listening, and it's just, it's really nice. It doesn't feel like, I don't feel a lot of pressure when I play. Like I said, it's a very quiet, very appreciative crowd. It's not like playing in a bar and trying to sing over people who are talking and eating and drinking and all that stuff. So I love it. I love trying out new songs there, and I just played there. We just had CMA Music Festival in Nashville a couple weeks ago, and I got another opportunity to play there a couple weeks ago, and it was great, absolutely great. And you get such a good tourist, you know, you get a lot of people from out of town that come to the Bluebird, and they have no idea who you are, you know, they just have heard that the Bluebird is a great place, and,
right.
and you know, that it's a hot spot, so you know, people stumble upon my music on accident, and they leave with a CD, and they leave being a fan, and so I'm very grateful for the Bluebird.
and a lot of artists, songwriters as well, perform songs there that go on to become big hits, right? It's kind of a place where you can get a sneak peek at something somebody's going to cut, and you might hear a song like The House That Built Me before it climbs the charts.
Yes. And those are incredible moments, and that's happened, you know, I've been in the audience or I've been in the round with these songwriters, and, you know, they say, oh, Kenny Chesney just cut this one, or whatever it is, and, I mean, 2 months later, the rest is history, you know, it's a huge hit, and this writer's flying high, so it's really cool. It's very cool to hear stuff that's in the works, that's behind the scenes, and, you know, like I said, yeah, you will hear a song there before you hear it on the radio, absolutely. And it's also fun to see the big hit, you know, the big hit songwriters play their biggest hits with just, you know, play it just the way they wrote it. Because obviously,
yeah,
when an artist goes into the studio, they dress it up, you know, with all the musicians in the backgrounds, and that's their interpretation of it. So it's fun to hear the writer sing and perform that hit song the way that they wrote it. So
yeah, acoustically,
very, very eye-opening.
Yeah, acoustically, you hear the song without, as you said, all the dressing up. You just hear the bare bones of the song, the heart of the song, and that can bring a whole new meaning to it, or display it in a different way. And, you know, now and then something like that makes it onto radio. Sugarland Stay is one example. And then today I heard Ronnie Dunn's new song, Cost of Living, basically him and a guitar. So effective.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. I don't know why we don't do it more.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, yeah. Yeah. And it, like the Miranda Lambert song, all that stuff. I
yep.
mean, there's just something to be said about keeping it simple. Absolutely.
Yes.
So
now,
and it's been fun for me with writing too. It's like, I
yeah.
mean, I've been writing a lot on piano, and, you know, with people who play piano. So it's been fun to go in and record that way too. Just,
nice.
Something really bare and but effective, you know. It's very effective and it's very emotion driven. So
yes,
I like it.
Yeah, I love hearing a song with a piano and a vocal, and just that can be so moving.
Oh yeah. Well, next time I'm on the show, I'll send you a song just like that so you can hear
it. Good. Definitely, love to hear that. Let's talk about Kim for a moment, and we touched, you know, talked about her a bit before, but tell us how great it is working with her and sort of what she does as a producer that makes you a better artist.
Kim is just very in tune with the creative aspect of it, especially on the vocalist standpoint. I mean, she is a singer, and so it's really all about building the track around the vocalist. And I think that a lot of producers, you know, they're musicians, they're guitar players, they're drummers, whatever. So they're worried about beefing up the track and making sure, you know, the musicians, oh, that cool riff there, whatever. And like I said, Kim's complete goal always has been to make the artist shine. And so I think that was a really great experience for me, being new to town and having somebody really care about how I was delivering something. And like I said, it's been 7 years. We've done a lot. We've done records. I sing demos for her in the studio for other songwriters. We'll just go into the studio and cut some of my songs that, you know, that I really love but just aren't me as an artist. And, you know, every time it's a very efficient experience, and I think
yeah.
now especially, I mean, we're so in tune with how the other operates that it's a great partnership. I honestly don't think I need another producer ever. So,
yeah.
I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Exactly. Exactly. You got a great thing
yep.
there with Kevin. As you know, she's a great lady, great producer. When you're doing the demos, is it fun in the sense that, as you said, it's not always stuff you would do as an artist, so do you get to put on a Miranda Lambert persona or a Gretchen Wilson type of thing and sing maybe in a different style than you normally would?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a complete chameleon when it comes to all that. I mean, I pretty much do the whole spectrum. I mean, whether it's something that's more jazz, whether it's something that's really traditional. I mean, yeah. And that's one of the cool things, too, about, you know, like I said, just my relationship with Kim as a producer is that she knows I'm capable of all that. And I don't really need a lot of direction. I don't need a lot of instruction. And, and we just go with it. So, I mean, as long as it sounds good, obviously, but yeah, I mean, I have many, many voices that I can channel.
That's great. Let's hear your voice that you normally sing in on the next song we're going to play, Rachel, called Once, that you wrote with Angela. And tell us about the song itself before we share it.
Yeah. Well, this is actually a song from my upcoming album that'll be done this year. And this song was just kind of the centerpiece of it all. I wrote it about a year ago, going through another breakup, and Angela and I were just talking, and it's kind of like that saying, you know, when somebody shows you who they really are, believe them, and it really only takes one time. It just takes one time, and
right.
So you don't have to break up and make up and do all that stuff. And so, like I said, this is kind of the centerpiece for the new project because it's very Motown infused, very Motown flavored, and the background, just everything about it is so, you know, got that retro feel for me, and I love it, absolutely love it. So after we went in and did that song, I said, this is what the new album is going to be all about. So, yeah, you can find it on my website and all that stuff, too, and the whole CD will be out soon. But without further ado, this is one.
We can look forward to that later this year, the whole album.
Yes.
Nice.
Absolutely. I'm very excited.
Awesome, and our listeners can stay tuned at rachelwilliamsonline.com to watch the progress of that and purchase the album once it's ready later on this year. Right now, Rachel Williams and Once on In the Country.
Call it.
And there's Rachel Williams with Once here on In the Country. What a great sounding song. Very cool song.
Thank you. Thank you. I like to think I'm cool every now and then.
The production on it is just superb. And as you said, the background singers, I mean, it's got Motown all over it and just sung so well. You did a great job on it.
Oh, thank you very, very much. Thank you. Yeah, it's just been really fun to be outside the box with, you know, writing and getting this new album together and stuff. And so especially, I mean, I just sit back there and listen to these background singers, and the parts they come up with are just ridiculous. You know, I'm like, I don't even need to be on that song. Like, can it just be background, please?
Yeah, Gladys Knight and the Pips just have the Pips.
Yeah, exactly. We got to get, like, our choreography going, though. We can be, like, the Temptations or something.
there you go. It'd be pretty sweet. Yeah, that puts a new dimension to the live show, right? All those new kind of moves that go with the songs.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely something that we're working on right now. It's going to be really
fun
to just unveil everything, the new stage show, the new project, everything. So I am very, very, very much looking forward to it.
That is very, very cool. Now, I find it so interesting that at the age of 2, your grandfather took you to a Judds concert, and I guess that's what kick-started this whole music career, seeing the Judds on stage.
Yes, yes, that is, without a doubt, where it all began. My grandpa took me and my parents to the Michigan State Fair, and the Judds were opening for the Oak Ridge Boys, and so nobody in my family really knew who they were, and I guess they really dug the Judds stuff, and from there on out, they would play their cassettes every single time that they put me down for a nap or they put me to bed at night, and by the time I was 5 years old, I had like countless and countless VHS tapes where my grandpa would videotape from the television like a three-hour award show just so I could see that three-minute song of theirs. And, you know, if every talk show, just everything they were on. And my parents took me to concerts, and it was just, like, really weird. You know, like, I was so young and I was just so fixated and kind of obsessed in a way, I guess. And it really paid off, though. I mean, I learned everything from, you know, like I was just very impressionable in those younger years. So I read every interview and I read every liner note of every CD and cassette and paid attention to who wrote that song and paid attention to how they worked the stage and all that stuff. And so that's why, like I said, by the time I was like 10, 11 years old, I'm playing every county fair in all of Michigan and, you know, playing in churches and all that stuff. So definitely,
now, were you covering the Judds songs at that time? Like, were you doing Mama He's Crazy or Love Can Build a Bridge?
Man, I did them all. I did them all. I was more of a huge, I mean, I'm still a huge Judd fan, but, like, once Winona went solo, I mean, that was pretty much it for me. So that was exactly what I wanted. You know, I loved her whole attitude, her persona, just the style of the music, everything. And I actually just went to see their reunion tour in Louisville, Kentucky, last December. So it was really fun to kind of get to relive my whole childhood in a concert.
That's great. That's great what music can do. It takes you back to then and to present with all their newest stuff, because they've got some new stuff as well. When Winona went on her own, it's a lot of bluesy stuff too. No One Else on Earth was a different style than the Judds.
Oh, yeah, it definitely was. And it was such a her coming into her own, like, declaration of independence thing. And it was awesome. And it was, like I said, I mean, I was so young when she went solo. And that was very, very, very influential in what I wanted to do and how I wanted to affect people musically, whether it's on the radio or at a live show. And I think we really miss that in today's market, just somebody who can absolutely blow you away vocally, you know. And I'll never forget being so young and seeing her literally hold a microphone to her kneecap, and you could still hear every note ring perfectly, you know. And I'm like, that's what I want to do.
Have that kind of effect on people.
Yes. Yes.
Amazing.
Please, please, please.
Now, as far as duet partners go, Rachel, have you given thought to, at some point, recording with another artist and who that might be, whether it's from country or pop or any genre? Anybody on the top of your list?
Yes. I definitely have my list. I mean, ideally, if I was picking from anybody.
Yeah.
If I was picking from anybody, I mean, my biggest inspirations were obviously the Wynonna and I love Carole King and Bonnie Raitt and all that stuff. And, you know, they always have those CMT Crossroads specials.
Yes.
And I definitely always saw myself doing one with somebody like that, with, you know, with a Bonnie Raitt or a Bob Seger or something. So hopefully my time will come and that opportunity will present itself. And when it does, I'm going to have a hard time choosing who would be the ultimate. But like I said, I'll be very excited when that day comes.
That's awesome, and such a great thing to be able to sing each other's songs. If it was Bonnie Raitt, Something to Talk About, or Bob Seger, you know, Night Moves or Hollywood Nights. So many great, and those are great artists, just the two you mentioned there. As far as your live performances, as we get set to wrap up here in a few moments, Rachel, what are your concerts like when people come out to see you? What can they expect?
I pretty much put it all out there. I mean, like I said, my songwriting is brutally honest, and so is my stage show. And it's a real workout for me. I mean, emotionally and physically, I don't hold much back, and I really love talking to the audience and you know, just getting them hyped up and letting them, you know, for that, however long that show is, you know, for the next 60 minutes, like, you're in my world, you know, and this is my life, and hopefully it rocks your face off. I'm very high energy, and I love the feeling of after a show just being completely and utterly exhausted. So
that's awesome.
That's what I strive for every single time.
That sounds terrific. Rachel, been such a pleasure having you on the show. I'm so glad Kim Copeland set us up here. We got a chance to hear an older song of yours and then a brand new one from the upcoming album coming out later this year. Been such a pleasure to chat with you and to share the music. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful meeting you and getting to talk, and hopefully we'll do it again soon.
I look forward to that. My guest today has been Rachel Williams, and you can follow her online at rachelwilliamsonline.com. I'm Dave Woods, and that wraps up this edition of In the Country.